He's also been having more than his share of health problems. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 is the text of our lesson. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. There's a qualification to that charge to be hospitable. We'll talk about it later. The man you see up there on the screen is Sunday Iyanderi. He's a very dear friend of mine. I met him in January of 1992 when Brother Lowell Blasingame took me. It was his seventh trip over to Nigeria. It was my first trip overseas, along with Brother Albert Dabbs and another younger preacher. And the four of us taught classes for preachers across southern Nigeria. And the first place that Brother Dabbs and I taught together was in Ibadan. And we stayed in the home of Brother Sunday Iyanderi. And that's when I first met him. I could just spend the rest of my time talking about Sunday Iyanderi. Most remarkable man. And I told Sandy when I got back home after that trip that if we lived close together, we could be best friends if he would humble himself to be my best friend. Because he's just a remarkable man. But the brethren had given money to Brother Dabbs and me for us to pay our expenses for the entire time, the month that we were in Nigeria. And Brother Iyanderi was keeping us in his home free of charge. And I knew that was a hardship on him as an African preacher. And so Brother Dabbs and I both tried to get him to take money from us to pay for his expenses for keeping us and feeding us that week. And in fact, he had even, I have to exercise some self-control here and not tell too much of this, but he had gone out the expense of renting a generator to hook up an air conditioner in our room because he didn't think that these Americans could endure the Nigerian heat. He didn't know that Albert and I were both from Arkansas. We could put up with a lot of things. But at any rate, there were some comical stories, ask me about it later, that come from that generator and him trying, just doing his best to make us comfortable while we were there. And we said, Brother Iyanderi, this is a hardship on you. You've got to accept some money. The brethren gave us this money for us to pay our expenses. He would not hear to accepting a kobo from us. That's Nigerian penny. He wouldn't accept even so much as a kobo from us. And he said, I have preached in Wisconsin in America. And those brethren were so generous and hospitable. They put me up in their homes. They fed me. And they never charged me a penny. And I said, well, Brother Iyanderi, that was not a hardship on them. They all have plenty of money. It was no problem for them to keep you. But it's a hardship on you to keep us and to have this generator and this air conditioning that you don't normally have. And we just don't want you to have this hardship. You're having to really go through some sacrifices for this. And he looked us straight in the eyes and says, isn't that what hospitality is? And we hushed. There was nothing more to be said. That's what hospitality is, to make sacrifices in order to welcome people and to make them feel at home. This sort of hospitality is a characteristic that is demanded of us as Christians. And that's what we're going to study this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 and 9 is one of five New Testament passages that specifically talk about hospitality by using the word either that or the adjective hospitable. But there's other passages that give us examples of the hospitality that the New Testament is talking about. But our text says, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. We'll come back to that passage later. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And we'll also come back to that passage later. But the question of the lesson is, what does the Bible teach concerning hospitality? Real briefly, Here's the five passages that either use the word hospitality or the word hospitable in the New King James Version. And the word behind it. And it's interesting. You get the two words together, and it's a combination of two meanings. One is generous to guests. And that's really what we think of when we think of hospitality, isn't it? Being generous to guests, and a person that way is hospitable. And that is half of the truth, that a hospitable person is a person who's generous to guests. They like to have guests, and they're generous to them. But the other half of that definition of either hospitable or exercising hospitality is the literal meaning of the word. In fact, I've got up here so you can break it down for yourself. And by the way, let me tell you, you don't have to know any Greek to know this. You can get a Vines dictionary. And the Vines dictionary would break this down just the way I'm breaking it. You don't have to know one word of Greek to use a Vines dictionary. But it's a Bible dictionary. But the word literally means love of strangers, and it's from the accommodation word philo, or from phileo, which means, and by the way, that's family type love. And what it means is treating strangers as if they're family. It's family type love, and the word kinos means a stranger. And so it's treating people other than our family as if they are family. Now, do you like to get together with your family, share a meal with them, and treat them like family? Well, of course you do. Most everybody does. And so that if we do that to people other than our family, then we're exercising hospitality. We're being generous to strangers, or we're showing love of strangers, generous to guests or love of strangers. There's an Old Testament example that shows us exactly what this hospitality is. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the inspired writer says, "Let brotherly love continue." See, there's family type love, that phileo, that family, or Philadelphia is the noun, that family type love. And then it will show us the Old Testament example. He says, "Do not be forgetful to entertain strangers." Well, see, that's what hospitality is in the strictest sense of it, is entertaining people that are strangers to us. We don't know them, just like I was a stranger in January of 1992 to a Sunday Allendary. He didn't know me, but he had me into his home. He says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers. By doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Now, I'm going to just briefly tell the story, and then I'm going to come back to later in the lesson to make the application of that. This is not the only place in the Old Testament where this occurred. It also happened with Manoah and his wife when the angel told them that they were going to have a son. And, of course, that was to be Samson. But earlier than this, much earlier than that, there were three apparent men who came walking. And we know from this passage there were angels. Actually, it appears from Genesis 18 that it was the Lord, apparently it was the Lord using three angels to do his work. And they came to Abraham at the tent of Mamre, which is in southern Palestine, where Hebron later on was. And he and his wife are under the terebinth tree, which would be like an oak tree, where they put their tent in southern Canaan. And these three men came walking in the evening. Now, what would you do if three fellas showed up and parked in your driveway? And would you be afraid? What would you do about that? Well, here's three men just showed up out of nowhere. And Abraham ran to the tent, and he told Sarah to make ready some bread for them. And he ran to the young man that would be his servant and told him to take the fattest calf, the best calf from the flock, from the herd, and to prepare the calf. And he prepared a sumptuous meal for them, and he said, "You've come to me as my guests. And now please partake of my meal," and they consented to do so. And of course, later on, he found out that they were angels, and God promised him that Sarah in a year was going to have a son. And also God talked to him about the destruction that was going to take place of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot was. But what happened was, in entertaining people, in welcoming strangers that he didn't know, this appeared out of nowhere, and that he didn't know into his home, that he was actually entertaining angels. And that's the background. Then, by the way, Abraham becomes the standard for the Jewish people from that time on in hospitality. When guests show up, then you roll out the red carpet, or you kill the fatted calf. You do what is the best that you can do to make them feel like their family, and to treat them the way you would treat your most loved family in your own home. Now, that's what hospitality is. And that's the example that Abraham gives. But there's other examples of what hospitality is shown in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and his company come onto the European continent for the first time, and they come in Macedonia to the city of Philippi. And the first people they were encountered, they were looking for Jews, and they're having a hard time finding any Jews because it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's no Jewish synagogue in Philippi. It was not a trading city. It was a military city. But they found a group of women on the Sabbath meeting by the riverside, where they met for prayer. And to these women, Paul and his company spoke. And as the results, they received the gospel. And Lydia and those with her were baptized. This is just a group of women that were business women. Lydia was the leader of them. They were sellers of purple. And in Acts chapter 16, right after Lydia had been baptized, then she does something which becomes a real standard for us today of what hospitality is. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us. She didn't say, you know, it wasn't one of these half-hearted, well, you know, maybe if you'd like to, you'd like to come by and get something. No, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful, Lord. Now, you know, if you don't do this, you're judging that I'm not faithful, Lord. That's putting on the tightening the screws pretty hard, isn't it? If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Now, that's not just a half-hearted invitation. That's not one of those things where you know they don't really mean it. Or one of those things where, you know, maybe sometime you can come over. No, if you think I'm faithful, Lord, you come. And she begged us, please come and stay with me. And so she persuaded them. Now, that's hospitality. That's the first time that she had met those men. And she would not take no for an answer, is the way we would put it today. When she, in fact, the old King James says she constrained us, and which is she was very forceful in her persuasion of them to come and to partake of her hospitality. Another example of this. Now, that was of a lady. I don't know whether she was a proselytized Jew or a Jew by birth, but she was of the Jewish religion because she was assembling for prayer on the Sabbath. But now we come to a Gentile, still in Philippi. And you can see why the church in Philippi had such a special place in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And he wrote the book of Philippians that he wrote to the church of Philippi, sometimes called a love letter, from Paul to the brethren in Philippi. But in Acts chapter 16, you know, after Paul and Silas have been beaten, thrown into prison, and the jailer takes part of that, and then after the earthquake at midnight, and Paul and Silas tell them him and his household how to be saved, then we read the result, what followed thereafter, in Acts 16, verses 33 and 34. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, that's a great lesson, but we're going to come back to that another time. Here's what I want to see now. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Here are men whom had been in prison. They were his prisoners. And when they told him how to be saved, not only did he take them into his house, he was, of course, rejoicing, and he fed them and also bathed their wounds. And so here's an example of a Gentile. When the first thing, when he comes to Christ, being baptized into Christ, he treats two strangers as if they were his own family. He welcomed them to his house and fed them. Now, later on, Priscilla and Aquila, and they're disciples of Christ, and in fact, they're Christians. The name Christian had been given at this point, and they were well-known Christians later on. But Paul has come to the city of Corinth, and Priscilla and Aquila are living there. And he says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded, Claudius was the Caesar, had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. Paul came to Priscilla and Aquila, is what it means. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked for by occupation. They were tent makers. Now, to me, this is a striking example of hospitality. Not only do they welcome him into their home, but Paul needed a way to make some money while he was in Corinth. Apparently, he wasn't getting enough money from the brethren in order to pay his expenses in Corinth. And he refused to take money from the Corinthians. We later learn later on in 1 Corinthians. And so, in fact, 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, he refused to take money from the Corinthians. And so he had to have a way to support himself. Well, they were tent makers. And by the way, that's what Paul was. And so they let him in on their business. Now, that may have been a hardship to them. I don't know. But it could have been a hardship for them to share their profits from their business. Let Paul work with them and share in the work of tent making, as well as stay with them in their home. That's hospitality. That's what Paul and Silas were given the opportunity to partake of in Acts chapter 18. Now, why should we be hospitable? Well, I want to give us some reasons. First of all, it's our duty. And I'm going to come back to this lady at the end of the lesson. I just want you to see that. That's a lady in Nigeria. I want at the end of the lesson, I'll tell you, you can't see her. I'm sorry. I wish you could. I wish you could see that picture. I'll just have to describe it to you later in the lesson. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The New Testament repeatedly couples this matter of benevolence, helping those who are less fortunate, with hospitality, as being twin things that we do. Sometimes our hospitality is to those who are really in need. Sometimes it's simply we're being generous to guests. But and we'll see more about this later from the Lord himself when he's speaking in the home of a ruler of the Pharisees. But nonetheless, it's our obligation that we are to be given to hospitality. And sometimes it might bring us rewards that we had not thought about ever happening. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have unwittingly entertained angels. Well, of course, that's talking about Abraham and Sarah when the three came to them at the tent. I have a friend, preaches in Wisconsin, but he grew up in Memphis. And his father was an elder of the church in Memphis. His name is Rick Lanning. And Rick used to say that he attributed the fact that he became a preacher to the hospitality of his parents. Because when they would have a visiting preacher at the congregation in Memphis, where his dad was an elder, then they would have the visiting preacher into their home to study and also, of course, to eat with them. And through the week, during the evening, he would always be overhearing the visiting preacher and his dad talking about the Bible. And that's one of the vivid memories that he has of childhood. And he thinks that is the main impetus that made him decide to become a preacher of the gospel. Now, there's something else about that. When the preacher and his dad were visiting, they weren't talking football, and they weren't talking baseball. They were talking the Bible. And our kids need to hear us talking the Bible as much more than they needed to hear us talking football and talking baseball. That was a little bit lesson for myself. If you get anything out of it, you're welcome to it. But nonetheless, that's something that shows a frame of mind that people have. And as the result, it had a good effect on the children. And so there are things that happen. I don't think we're going to have any angel, a literal, you know, a spirit being, walk in and partake of our hospitality. But there can be unexpected good things happen as the result of exercising hospitality. And also it demonstrates the love that we have for one another, and love that we can even have for people that we haven't even known before. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it's coupled with love. Above all things, have fervent love. Now, that's that agape love that you always hear about. That's the active goodwill. That's the most basic kind of love that Christian can have, that's most like the love that our Father has. So he says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Then he says, in that context, here's an application of that matter of having love. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, we'll talk about that more later on. So there is, I want to just give an example or two. This is not something that we don't know about in this congregation that hasn't been practiced here. Several years ago, I was really struck with Richard and Sharon Zeiger, because we had a visitor here that none of us had ever met before. He was a carpenter. He was here to do some carpentry work. I happened to know his extended family. That was the only connection. I'd gone to school with his brother years before that. And so that was the only connection anybody in the congregation had. But he had come to us as somebody that was having financial problems. He had a temporary job here in town. He was not here looking for it, but he had a temporary job working as a carpenter. And Richard and Sharon Zeiger took him into their home and kept him for the entire time that he worked here, because he could not really afford it. He was trying to support family back home. And I was really, now that's hospitality. That's the hospitality that Peter's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 4. That the inspired writer is talking about Hebrews chapter, let's get Hebrews chapter 13. I'll give you another example of the same thing. Let brotherly love continue. So this is the other kind of love that we're to have. That's family type love. Let brotherly love continue. Now, based on that, do not be forgetful, entertain strangers. And of course, that's hospitality. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we had somebody show up in our worship assembly that none of us had ever seen before, and he was here looking for work. And Joe and Kay Davis took him into their home. I think the rest of us were afraid to. I'll be very, very, and I'm including myself in that number. I think and by the way, as it turned out, we probably had a pretty good reason to be afraid to. But nonetheless, that's hospitality. That is family type love to people that we don't even know, treating them as if they are our own family. That's what Christians do. That's what we're obligated to do as Christians, but we receive benefits from it. So to whom should we show hospitality? Well, it's not just to our own friends, family, and wealthy neighbors. Now, when you think about hospitality, there's hospitality, and that's one kind of hospitality. Be generous to guests. See, we saw the definition. And that's practiced very commonly in this congregation, and that's wonderful. That's a good thing. It ought to be there. We have good friends in the congregation, we love each other, and we visit back and forth in one of the homes, or we go out and eat together. I don't believe that it necessarily has to be inside your home in order for it to be hospitality. If you invite me out and you foot the bill, I consider hospitality, by the way. And I'm not asking anybody to invite me out. That wasn't the point. But the point is, that is, I believe, hospitality. Now, but Jesus qualifies that hospitality. He was in the home of a ruler of the Pharisees. And there was a lot of other Pharisees there. Don't you know that was a very proud assemblage? And don't you know, well, you don't have to guess about that. Jesus let some of the wind out of their sails. He stuck a pin in their heads and let some hot air out. In Luke chapter 14, verse 12, he said, then he also said to him who invited him, this is a ruler of the Pharisees. Verse 1 tells us this. When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Now, what's Jesus saying? Well, first of all, this is a favorite figure of speech of Jesus. Let me explain it a little bit. He's not saying it's wrong to have your friends over to eat. He's not saying it's wrong to have your family over for Thanksgiving, to have Thanksgiving dinner with. That's not what he's saying. This is one of those only also sayings. He's denying the lesser to emphasize the greater. And we could read this, and I believe this is the meaning of it. And by the way, this is a very common figure speech that Jesus used. Don't do this only, but do this also. If you invite your best friends over to eat with you, what's going to happen? Well, they're probably going to pay you back and have you back over too. That happens, doesn't it? You shouldn't expect it, by the way, but it does happen. But what if you have that carpenter that's here for two or three weeks on a temporary job, and he is very tight with his, and he doesn't have much money. He's barely getting by. What if you have him into your home and you feed him breakfast every morning and you feed him supper in the evening? Are you expecting him to invite you back into his home? No, that's truly being hospitable. That's truly showing family type love to somebody. Now that's true hospitality that Jesus, now the other's fine, nothing wrong with the other, but this is the true kind of hospitality that Jesus says we will be blessed for. To whom should we show it? Well, not just to those who are rich and our neighbor friends, but to the poor and the needy. Job says, and he's saying, he's bringing a curse upon himself if he's not done this. If I've kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself so that the fatherless could not eat. What's he saying? He's saying that he shared his food with the widows and with the orphans. That's what he's saying. And that's true hospitality. And as Jesus finishes his saying concerning who to have for a dinner or a supper in Luke 14, 13 and 14. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, folks that are down and out and cannot repay you. That's who he's saying to invite. He's not denying that you can invite the other, but you invite those that cannot repay you. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Great is your reward in heaven. Visitors to our worship assembly, we're always so glad to have visitors. And they should not go away without being invited to spend some time with somebody in this congregation, getting to know each other. Be forgetful, entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Fellow Christians ought to be invited into our homes. We ought to exercise hospitality, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And visiting preachers. Now, I'm going to say more about that at the end of the... We don't have the opportunity to do that a lot in our country. We don't have preachers or go... Well, let me just read 3 John verses 5 through 8, and then we'll talk about it for a minute. 3 John verses 5 through 8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Now let me tell you an abuse of this that I've seen more than once. Brethren want to go on vacation, but they're kind of tight in their money on vacation, so they arrange to stay with brethren in their homes along the way on their vacation. This passage has absolutely nothing to do with that. Nothing. This is helping preachers of the gospel on their way of going forth to preach. And of course, at the time when John was writing, there would be preachers of the gospel going forth in all that kind of part of the world that would not have a place to stay unless somebody took them into their home. They might have to just stay out in the open field somewhere, and they would be accepted in, welcomed in. Now, when I've gone to Africa, it's always striking to me when brethren invite me into their home. Some are afraid to do that because they know that in America we live so much above the way they live in Africa. They're afraid to do that. But it's always striking to me when they invite me into their home and I partake of their hospitality, and I appreciate it immensely because I know they're making a sacrifice so that I can go forth and preach the gospel. Now, when we have a visiting preacher here, for example, for a gospel meeting, then I think it'd be great, instead of the church paying for a motel, that we have that gospel preacher into our own homes to stay. And there have been people in this congregation that have done that more than once. Or if we have ladies here for the ladies' lectures, that we have, that homes are opened up for them and for those who come to hear the ladies' lectures, that homes are opened up for them. And we're showing the kind of love that John is talking about in 3 John verses 5 through 8. All right, real quick now, we've got to finish up. How should we show hot? Well, fervently. We ought to be, the word fervent means heatedly. We're something, people get excited about the football games. People get excited about sports. And we ought to get that excited, that heated about showing hospitality. In Romans 12:11, Paul says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Now that's a being hot for the Lord, literally is what that means. Serving the Lord. And in that context, he tells us, distributing to the needs of the saints, here's and given to hospitality, hospitality coupled with the matter of helping the needy, and that we're to be fervent. We're to be doing our dead level best to do that. Also, it should be done cheerfully. Oh, yeah, I'll have you in my home, but boy, this is a lot. I'm going to be out some money, and this is a lot of a hardship, and I've got to work to get the house just spick and span. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Don't be belly aching about it. Be glad, be happy to do it. You might receive unexpected benefits. All right. You can't see that picture, can you? I'm so sorry. That is a Nigerian lady. I don't even know her name. Two other preachers and I, Manny Ebong and Ed Lewis and I, spent the night in her home. I'm not even sure what city. I think it was the city of Owerri in Imo State in southern Nigeria. She was a school teacher. Her husband was the principal of the school. And we were on our way through preaching and teaching in southern Nigeria. And they invited us into their home to spend the night. They both, she and her husband, had to get up the next morning, get some kids ready to go to school themselves. She had to go teach school, and he had to go be the principal of the school. And I slipped in. I got up before she did. And I slipped in I wish you could see that picture. And took a picture of her preparing our breakfast, sitting on an upturned bucket with bowls in the floor, cutting up stuff that she was going to cook for our breakfast before she went off to teach school. Now, you think I don't appreciate that? That's hospitality. And that's what needs to characterize us as we, in our showing love to one another, we treat each other, and we even treat strangers as if they're family. We love to have our family in our home. And we love to visit with them. And we love to share a meal with them. And we ought to love to do that with brethren and with strangers. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. There may be somebody in the audience needs to make your life right with the Master today.